another cracking week of footy. We had the try-scoring record broken in unbelievable scenes on Friday night. How good was that, Steve?
Yeah, something to remember forever, mate. It was something special. So we have a chat about that. We also have a chat about our power rankings for the first time this season. And we discuss the grand match coming up between the Parramatta Eels and the St. George Dragons.
Yeah, I can't wait to unpack that next week because someone's not going to be happy. We also talk about who is the best team in the comp at the moment, who is the best of the worst teams in the comp, and a bit of a talk about what we've liked so far for the season. Let's get into it. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. Good to get another round of rugby league into it. See a few teams play a second game. How you been?
Good, mate. We're having a bit of whinge last week about blowouts and so on, and there were a few still in that high-scoring category, but there was some more games that were like real football on the weekend, so maybe the refs got our message and are starting to rein it in a little.
Yeah, we'll see. You've got a bit more confidence than I do. Valani's has come out today, putting it back on the players and the coaches, so we'll see. We'll see who wins out in the media, mate. But it was just good to see run your eye over a few teams for a second chance. And see a few of them reverse some results from round one.
Yeah, and one team that I thought were really unlucky, and one that we probably got wrong. We talked last week about them having probably a tough 4 weeks while they embed the defensive system. I thought the Titans were so good, and while they had the Dolphins in the eliminator, I was probably still cheering for the Titans because they deserved to win that one, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, mate. Look, the big talk out of the preseason was getting them in the grind, so they know how to play that style of football set for set, and that's what they did early. They outgrinded. It wasn't a tremendous game to watch. It was a little bit dour at times, but that's the way the Titans are going to try and move forward, mate. So the Dolphins really had to get the wheels going in that back end, or they weren't going to run them down. So yeah, it was a bit unfortunate. They probably deserved to win, truth be told, but just didn't quite close the game out. You know, they really missed Campbell, I thought, in that back end of the game, where just to take a little bit more control. But, look, positive signs. Even though they're running 0-2, they're certainly not going to make the semis, but it was certainly, what we thought we were going to get after the trial games at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And really reaffirms what you have been calling since the preseason is Manly with the spoon. And I tell you what, have you seen a team play worse than that?
Yeah.
It was so bad.
They've copped a bit of a bollocking in the media almost as soon as the game was over. I think, you look at it from a technical side of it. You know, Sharp didn't play at all, lost Ponga and Brown at half time. You would think, even though the Knights were up by half time by a fair whack, full house at Brookvale on a Sunday arvo, it was just, it was written already for Manly to come over the top of them. But it's not the team of the old days, mate. I think we were pretty right with Manly, to lose two at home when they probably should have won both. The Canberra game, you wouldn't have backed them to beat Canberra, but they were well in front early. And then Newcastle at home with all those injuries. So, yeah, they're in all sorts of trouble, mate.
Agree. I can't say I'm overly disappointed in that, but anyway, I won't bring in any more of that bias. What did you like from the weekend?
Look, mate, as a St. George fan, I didn't like to see the way the Melbourne Storm come over the top of us in the end, but I liked the way Melbourne played for the second week in a row. So they haven't what you'd call play standouts, but they just look like they've got a little bit of edge about them. And then you couple that in with what Penrith did to Cronulla. Again, not the fireworks game we're expecting, but those two teams just look like they've got that little bit of edge about them this week, a little bit of professionalism. So as far as teams go, I'd certainly like that, but hard to go past what Alex Johnson did as a highlight for the round, right? That was something I never thought we'd see. Certainly in our lifetime, someone broke 212 tries, but pretty bloody special, mate. And to see the way the crowd reacted, it was one for the memory banks for sure.
It was. I couldn't get enough of watching it the next day. Like, it's quite emotional, actually, just seeing they had those packages with, you know, his family watching, and even just how well behaved the crowd were. They were never going to stop him coming on, but it was like how well it was embraced by even the Roosters fans. And then when, I don't know if there was an announcement, but suddenly the crowd just dispersed. It was almost like they were running off and, oh, yeah, we got a game to finish.
Yeah.
And, yeah, wow. Like,
yeah, however that happened, it was someone, I was watching it with a couple of mates, and someone said something must have happened because the way they were running away. But, yeah, maybe they just realised we've got to get back on with the footy. So, look, it was a good scene. You see those sort of things with AFL more so than rugby league. Very rarely does that happen with our game. But to your point, everyone did it in the right manner. It was handled very well, and such a great try as well. It certainly wasn't just a catch and put down. It was a 60-metre try and pretty special from Latrell on the inside. So, one thing I'll remember for a while.
Absolutely. And that left edge we talked about, Fifita setting it up. And also the fact that it's going to be something that's replayed again and again, the fact that it had that big build-up, as you said, 60 metres, like it couldn't have been more perfect, really. So, yeah, often, you know, you don't get those fairy tale moments in sport, but when you do, mate, that was so good, so good. I did think after that South were going to struggle to get themselves back up to win, but just watching that game, I didn't see enough from either team to think that they're quite in that. We've already seen a bit of a separation, but to me they're still probably in that from fifth down sort of at this point, and how I'm thinking about how they played. They not overly impressed with either team yet.
Yeah, probably agree, mate. I mean, you saw Bennett at half not at halftime, after Johnson scored that try down the dressing room addressing the team. You don't see that from Bennett too often, so he knew not only how important the game was, but also that bigger moment. So to see him down in the dressing room was pretty cool from a fan perspective. Look, I probably got Roosters a little bit ahead of South at the moment. I just see them with a little bit of a harder edge through the pack. But to your point, the way two rounds in, long bloody way to go, mate. But the way Penrith and Melbourne have come out, they seem to be a little bit ahead of these two teams. Warriors are another example. So, look, you know, Roosters and South at the moment look like they're going to be thereabouts, but yeah, there's still a fair bit of ground for them to make from the top couple of teams for mine.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a team that comes on a run later. It's just more looking at from where we're at the moment. And speaking of where we're at the moment, the Bronx, after 20 minutes, I did have a thought, oh my God, like our season could unravel right here because they were just doing the same thing that Melbourne were. And it just shows what a shift in momentum can do and how you generate that momentum off the back of it. A mistake, the other team, you know, a couple of missed tackles, and then suddenly it's a completely different game. I'm disappointed in myself because part of me just had that, you know, you just get a bit of a gut feel around something. I'm like, oh, I've got a feeling Parra are going to win. After 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, I obviously got that horribly wrong. But after they won, then I'm like, it's one of only two tips I missed for the week.
Yep.
I'm happy we made that comeback, but the same thing. Those two teams have got a fair way to go before we're talking about them as even top eight, really.
Yeah. Look, I agree, mate. We spoke about Broncos a little bit after the World Club Challenge in round one about getting off to a slow start. Happened the back end of last season, obviously, but they just kept coming over the top of teams. They come out against Parra and just hit the ground running. And I thought, well, they've changed, they've made those alterations in their pre-game preparation, etc. And I thought, okay, this is the Broncos that we're expecting to see now. And Parramatta, you know, 34 unanswered points against a team that are hoping to go back to back. It was just quite astounding, truth be told. You know, that left edge of the Broncos is in all sorts. So they're going to need to do something with that. Virtually immediately. There's talk that Mariner could get dropped this week, but for me, it's a little bit inside that Jack Grigalski. I'm going to pronounce that wrong, but he needs a little bit of work. Ezra Mann in defence. So there's a little bit there, mate. It's one thing to get off to that flash start and then even rely on Walsh at the back, but to have 34 unanswered points, and with all due respect to Parra, they certainly played well. They're not they're not leading the charge. So monster game against Melbourne down in Melbourne. If the Broncos go down here and go 0-3 to start the season, the media up here in Brisbane will just start to get louder and louder, unfortunately for them.
Already is. Notice Gordy's had another crack at him. He just loves it, mate. Anyway,
Gordy, mate.
Exactly. We did talk about maybe Jonah Pezet having a tough night, but he had an absolute cracker. He had a couple of things that went his way, like both his little kicks, the one that Haas knocked on, and he obviously put a few guys into holes that weren't defended really well. But he certainly bounced back and looks like, the Broncos fans, despite the fact they wouldn't have enjoyed him tearing him apart, they would have had plenty to look forward to, because he looks like he could be anything. He's 21 games into his career.
Yeah, no, look, 100%. You know, I'll chip Broncos as much as I'll pat Pezet on the back. You know, you saw Storm really go out after him, made his night hard for him. The Broncos just didn't do that. There's no mongrel. There's no that hard edge. They've had some huge back rowers over the years that have had that, hard edge on those Tony Carroll, Stortus type players, Brad Thorne type players. The back row is
Kevin Campion
at the moment. Yeah. You list them all off. That's what the Broncos have been built on. And right now, their edge forwards aren't defending well enough, and they just don't have that mongrel in defence. So, Pezet had his best game that I've probably seen him play in first grade. I would like to have seen the Broncos really target him a little bit harder. I'd really hope that St. George's edges this weekend really just make him work hard in defence. Repeat efforts. Hats off to him, mate. He played really well.
Yeah, that should be a good game, actually, on Sunday. I'll be out there for sure. And I think if we look at both teams, the Dragons, for 120 minutes, they certainly looked a very good team. I've got to be honest, that's the one game I didn't see. What do you reckon? What happened at half time? Was it after half time, was it a possession thing, or they?
Yeah, they were. Look, the Dragons
not quite good enough.
They just weren't quite good enough. Is the bottom line? I thought the first two tries from the Storm, unfortunately, were Gutho errors, and the third one, the referee went penalty six again. So the first couple of tries Melbourne got, I thought, were error and had a little bit of a leg up. And the Dragons are really fighting that first half, really grinding footy with a little bit of class to get a couple of tries, but ultimately not in the same ballpark as the Storm, right? The Storm just come over the top. Suafea-Longo, hat-trick, with just that little bit about him. And it's the sort of feeling I'm getting with some of these games after watching two rounds now, where sort of starting to get to, grind teams out, and then with these six agains, that little bit of brilliance from one player, and Suafea-Longo with the ball down in the opposition's 20 is electric, right? So
magic.
Happy as a Dragons fan, they fought real hard, and no one expects them to have the class that Melbourne do, because they just simply don't have the cattle there. But fought hard, and really big game for both Parra and St. George. Obviously, Parra can get 2 from 3 to start the season, they'd be wrapped. And St. George, no one was probably, Flanagan included, was expecting a win against those first two teams. They're obviously hoping for one and working hard for one, but we probably weren't supposed to beat Canterbury or Melbourne. So if we can get on to Parra, things will start to even out, I would have thought.
Yeah. It'd be disappointing for Flano, given how much he prides his teams in defence, so they don't get blown off the park too often. But again, it's like Melbourne, they've always been good at looking at how the game's going to be played and adapting their style to match it, and it just looks like they're ahead of everyone, except maybe Penrith, who are also pretty good at that, because the way the game's been refereed has definitely evolved in the last 5-6 years. They just continue to stay up and around it. I think we both were pretty close on this, but just been burned too many times before. People talking about the Storm being potentially a little bit fragile, and I'm like, mate, they'll just be there again, and they will, and they'll finish in that top two, and they'll be hard to beat come finals time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you take out two forwards that they lost with Nelson, and then Esi Katoa, two really big holes in their side, and they've brought in two second rows that have barely played first grade before. And they've just been outstanding. So they were great, and then a little bit of class on the edges, and you think like they've never missed a beat. So they're going to keep doing what they do, mate. They play a really good style of brand of footy, and this six again really six agains the referees and the NRL are brought in really matches the way they play. You know, low error rate with the ball in hand, and then have a little bit of class with this on the advantage line running footy. So yeah, they're going to be thereabouts all the way to the very end, mate. And I think we had them as close enough to minor premiers, and we won't be far off it, I think.
Yeah, spot on. Now, speaking of class, the Warriors look a touch of class at the moment. Tanner Boyd just keeps getting better and better after we question whether he'd be good enough, and he's answered that question emphatically. The Raiders weren't horrible. I know that they weren't fantastic, and I did expect the Warriors to win, but they were super impressive. What do you think?
Yeah, they were, mate. They seem to be getting that mix right around that, you know, a dominating middle big forward pack, and then that touch of class out wide. So, you know, their outside backs, the line breaks that they had, just kept on giving the Raiders trouble throughout the game. So to your point, the Raiders weren't awful by no stretch, but I think going over to New Zealand and playing the Warriors is going to be a very tough ask this year. I can't see them dropping too many games. You know, we probably got Tanner Boyd wrong when we did our season preview. We were worried that Metcalf being out was going to slow them down, but it's the best footy Tanner Boyd's played. I think, you know, he never quite got to where he needed to with the Titans, but the Warriors, these first two games have been pretty bloody impressive, mate, truth be told. So they got Newcastle this week in Newcastle for their first away trip, but Newcastle are obviously going to be missing their three stars. So they can start 3-0 and yeah, really get off the fly. It'll make things interesting back end of the season for them.
Yeah. You talked before about some of those teams with the back rowers that are going real well. Well, it's the same with the Warriors. They got the middles, but it's not just their backs out wide. Their back rowers and even the guys coming off the bench that just fit in there seamlessly. It is a well balanced team, and they are going to go a long way. I might have to rethink where I had them. I think it's sixth or seventh. I'll have to rethink that. They look the goods. Be tough road trip for anyone.
Yeah, it is, mate. Home games or not, to knock over Canberra and the Roosters the way they did, you know, neither game ever looked in doubt. So be interesting to see what they do. They always usually go on a fairly good run over Origin. They don't lose too many players as well. So if they string a few wins together now and continue to play as well as what they have, we could see them, you know, factor in at the end of the season.
Absolutely. Like we talked about last year with Fogarty, it remains to be seen if Tanner Boyd can do it at the end, but I guess they do have some pretty handy backups coming in, so he might not even be there when come finals time. Interestingly, we did talk about whether Fogarty would go well at Manly. I don't think the problem's him. He's actually seems to be going all right, especially given that they're getting absolutely beaten up and they just can't hang on to the ball. So,
anyway. They're in all sorts of trouble, mate. I think Seabold's coaching his last few games of NRL, and there'll be a few players that will get moved on by the next bloke, and they'll have to be a fairly large clean out at Manly, but she's only 2 weeks in. They've still got Trebouille Rich, so you never know what happens in the big games, mate.
But he dropped, I mean, when he bulldozed over off the scrum and scored, I'm like, oh, hopefully he's fit for Origin. But then he drops a bomb when Marju was bearing down on him, which you could understand, but I guess there's still a little bit of fragility in the body that he kind of shied away from that collision.
We'll have to see. Yeah, we'll have to see the game, mate. We both copped a fair bit off on social media when we I had them especially to run last. So, there needs to be a bit. Obviously, they got the bye. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not this weekend, but let's see how they go on the other end of it, mate.
They're coming around, though. As I mentioned to you yesterday, There was a Manly fan who said he's coming around to our way of thinking after after what he's dished up the first two games. And he rightly pointed out that Seibold's manager also manages a fair chunk of that squad. So you're right, it would be a full clean out if they get rid of him. He might have a few following him out the door. So yeah, interesting times. All right. We hoped for a close Panthers-Sharks game and both teams showing up, but it's just a different class, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Penrith looked like they got a little bit of, shit in them, so to speak, mate. they just got that glare about them. You know, I saw Cleary do a few things and they look like they're not mucking around. We spoke about them in the preseason around their really tough draw to start. So there's still a few more hard games for them, so to speak. But at the moment, they just look like they're got a little bit of a point to prove, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and they're too good a team at the best of times. So it looks very ominous for them. Cleary looks like he's in total control of everything that's going on. To be honest, it looks like Yo's even taken a little bit of a backward seat compared to other years. So he looks a little bit dialed in, Cleary, this year. So it'll be very interesting to see how he continues. He's certainly started on fire. I think even at the back, we've seen the fullback look like he's been bashed up a little bit over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, but he looks like he's got a little bit of a spring in his step. So does Tuo on the wing. So, they look pretty good. To our point earlier around Canberra, I didn't think Cronulla didn't throw anything at them, but they weren't awful either. It was sort of one of those games where Penrith were just too good. So bloody interesting this week against the Roosters for the Panthers, because if they knock over those three that are fairly big heavyweights, it's going to be game on later in the season, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a point there at the end of that game where Cronulla just were camped on Penrith's line and it just didn't look like they could have been there for an hour and it didn't look like they were going to score. The Panthers are back to that old defence just looking like I think they even said in commentary, as a black wall. And we talked about how good the halves were for the Sharkies last week, and it's these games that have been the problem for them when there needs to be something elite, something X factor, and they just haven't been able to deliver. And so, they were good, but they're going to have to go to another level if they want to be serious about contending.
Yeah, right now, again, we've mentioned a few times now, only round two, right? But, Cronulla seem like they're a step and a half behind the Panthers right now. So, look, things can change pretty quickly, obviously. There's injuries and teams are still only getting going and finding their feet. But, when the Panthers halves had the ball on the field position, they couldn't quite create anything. So, it'd be interesting to see. I think the Sharks, this is their last year with their current squad. I can see, them finishing around that fourth, fifth, sixth again, and I can see them having a bit of a clear out as well if they don't do something better this year. So, look, they'll be aware of that. It's only one game, and Penrith do look phenomenal at the moment. So we'll see what happens next week or this coming week against the Dolphins. They'll be expecting a win that. So it'll be a big game for them at home.
Absolutely. Now, we touched briefly on the Knights Manly game. The Knights, it's so disappointing that Ponga and Brown are injured because from an attacking perspective, we know how good the Storm were, but for me, second best to watch so far is that Newcastle attack. They just look red hot, and whatever Holbrook's done there, he's almost got Caelan Plant as the seven at times in attack, which is freeing up Brown, and then their back line's got speed and class all through, and that's without Fletcher Sharp still to come back. It'll be interesting to see how they go this week. You said they've got the Warriors. Sander Smith was good, but it wasn't the same standard as when those two stars were on in the first half.
No, it wasn't, mate. I mean, we called Fletcher Sharp probably was the player of round one, with the exception of Grant. He only played half a game, and Ponga was damn near the player of round two when he only played half a game. So they were electric. I think the good news for the Knights were Ponga went off for the second half, but they still kept going. They didn't put the cue in the rack. You know, last year the Knights would have lost that game, but they kept fighting and then pulled away again from Manly. So, you know, Brown made that break and scored. They scored off it shortly into the second half. And I think that was just a little bit of a, okay, well, we're a different team. We're a different coach. We can do this without Ponga. That being said, it's one thing to, you know, lose your two players at half time. It's another thing to go all week knowing they're not going to play. So I can't see them knocking over the Warriors, but certainly good signs that Newcastle fully fit. I can't see them going anywhere near the Spoon starting 2-0 if they're fully fit. It looks like they've got enough about them to win a handful of games for the fans, I think.
Absolutely, and they'll have a full house there on the weekend after their start to the year. One thing that you did get right before the year, even though you did call him a Parry Junior, which wasn't technically correct, but Kelmer Tuolungi had an absolute blinder. So let's hope that prediction from you keeps going, because we look good when he's going well. He's had a couple of real standout games. His problem's been consistency, but good upside there. Was there anything else from the weekend gone that you wanted to mention, mate?
No, the only other quick one for me, mate, I mean, we've mentioned most games. The only other quick one for me was the Tigers. You know, they had to sit at home on the couch, watch all Vegas, watch all round one, come out to a packed Leichhardt Stadium. How good for rugby league. And really did a number on the Cowboys. So, again, the Cowboys don't look real impressive. I think Peyton and Seabowl are neck and neck to see who's going to be coaching up first. But yep. I thought the Tigers were good, right? So it'll be interesting to see how they go as the season progresses. Really cracking game with South, we'll talk about soon coming up this week. But I thought they had a lot of positive signs. They were they were improved again on last year. So I thought that was really good for them. And, yeah, the Cowboys are... Yeah, it's not looking tremendous for the boys, as we predicted, mate, unfortunately.
It is not. I can't believe I missed that game. Like I've said to you before, and we talked about in the preview, got a bit of a soft spot for the Tigers, and I was hoping they would do well, but I thought they were super impressive. The Cowboys had a bit of a mini revival, and as bad as they were, the Tigers, there's shades of 2005 in terms of, they're obviously not in that same class, but just attacking from all points of the ground, a little bit less structured. I've obviously got their own structure, but there's plenty to like. They're going to be good to watch, however their season pans out.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And the fans, not too many fans deserve it more than the Knights and the Tigers fans. They keep showing up year after year. Mm-hmm. So for them to get a few wins, to your point, they'll be packed stadiums throughout the rest of the season now. So, yeah, good news story, mate. Hopefully they can keep it going for us.
And Luai allowed to go back to the six and have someone else running the show. It was like the old Jerome was back and carving it up. It was good.
Yep. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Again, they need to be fully fit. They don't have a lot of depth in some positions, but it was good to see him get a win early, mate. I felt happy for the fans.
Absolutely. All right, let's look at this weekend. I had a bit of a look ahead at tips and seeing who I'd have for my eliminator this week. It's a round where there'll probably be a few games that are a bit lopsided, but when you look at it, you can mount a case for every team. It's going to be an interesting one. Oh, before we get to the Raiders Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Bronson Cherry.
Yeah, really big news, isn't it?
He'd look good in blue and gold and red and white, I reckon. And we both probably in need of a little bit of depth in outside backs.
Yeah. Look, it's an interesting one. There's obviously Gus Gill's involved, so you don't know how much to believe in the media and how much of it's bullshit. But if he's been dropped to reserve grade, for me, one, that's a monster. I thought he's last year he certainly played probably his best season. I know he had that long break with the suspension, but I thought he was really good. But then, if he has asked for release because he got dropped, that's That just doesn't sit right with me. I know you and I have spoken about it before. We're both a little bit old school. But to me, something like that happens, you work your ass off and you earn your spot back. But some of the rumours floating around that they've told him that he won't get re-signed and he's has a contract till 2027, that just is astounding to me. If that isn't them trying to push him out of the club, I don't know what is. So it'll be interesting to see what's, you know, what's fact and what's bullshit. But it's it could be a big story, that, because it's second year in a row now Bulldogs have had issues with signings and player movements. So it's a big one.
Gus is the master at playing the media. And to me, you know, all this different language coming out, he sort of puts down an anchor, this is what's going on. And then, of course, he completely changes it and everyone kind of forgets. But to me, he's either trying to get a rocket up him to get him playing better, which may well work. I'd be very surprised if he actually asked for a release. But we saw what happened last year with Marnie. We saw what happened when he talked about Galvin before he signed him. You know, throw a bit of this stuff out there, get people interested, get people talking, and then it just makes it more palatable for the Doggies fans that he gets moved on because of all the storyline of, well, we don't want to, you know, if he doesn't want to be, he can get fucked, sort of thing. You know, you imagine that the fans would then be more open to it happening. I just think it's really interesting, and there's always more to meet the eye when, as you said, Gus is involved.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we called Burton going to Perth so they could get Woods into the Seven jersey. Potentially, we missed a beat there, and it's Cherry that will be moving on and Burton into the centres. I mean, they're paying Burton too much to play in the centres, but that could be the option as well, mate. So just for me, though, it's just another one for the Bulldogs to have to get around and deal with. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think there'll be plenty in the media over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can see him getting moved on. If you think about how they built, they bought a whole lot of guys who they knew got to be good character, could fill a fair few different positions. There's every chance now that they're starting to get some opportunities to sign high-profile players and probably build their squad that, yeah, there will be a clear out of some of those guys that they bought probably on overs to get the momentum going and then moved on. So watch this space.
Yeah, I think you both agree that he won't have trouble picking up another club in the NRL, especially with Perth coming in. I think that'd be eager to start more than half the sides in the comp. So I don't think he'll be short of a quid.
No. Oh, just before we move on to next round, and again, maybe a bit of bias, but I actually heard Wade Graham and someone else talking about this as well, how good Sean Russell was on Thursday night. And he just looks like that sort of player. If he was a Queenslander, he'd be in Origin, because he's just got, you talked about hard edge before and a bit of mongrel. Like, he's come from a kid who was inconsistent and a bit skinny. He's big, he's bulky. The guys talking about it, they reminded me of last year. He did a number on Katoni Staggs, who very rarely gets beaten physically, and maybe he didn't get over the top of him, but it was certainly an even contest, which is rare. Yep. They probably didn't come together as much in this most recent game. But yeah, good signing for the Bears, as it's turned out, and more disappointed that we're losing him after that performance again on Thursday.
Yeah, you gave him a big shout-out in the preseason, mate. So I did keep an eye on him the last couple of weeks, and he has been impressive, mate. It'll be a good challenge, obviously, where Dragons got two big centres ourselves. So it'll be a good match-up this weekend with him. But, yeah, I think, you know, we spoke about the Bears, you know, not necessarily getting marquee players, but getting good, solid first graders who know how to take a loss but can also build for the future. So, yeah, he's going to be a tremendous signing for them, mate. I couldn't agree more.
Yep, let's get to Raiders Doggies. It's hard to know where the Raiders are at the moment. They just didn't have any ball against Manly and still got the win. Again, they tidy up a few things there against the Warriors, and it's a much closer game. I think it was definitely much closer than the score suggested. The Dogs weren't super impressive round one. I don't know. It's a tough one to call.
Yeah, it is, mate. You've hit the nail on the head with both teams there. So, look, I got Canberra ahead with their forward pack. I think they'll be a little bit – the ego will be a little bit bruised after the Warriors. I wouldn't say the Warriors, you know, manhandle them and embarrass them, but the Warriors certainly got over the top of their forward pack. So, I think their egos will be a little bit bruised, and I'm sure Shield will let them know that. And let's be honest, with the Bulldog forward pack, it isn't a monster pack of mongrels, is it? It's more of that smaller mobile pack. So if Canberra get their fair share of ball and this six again doesn't get out of control, I probably got Canberra ahead, mate, with their forward pack the way it is.
Yeah, and we saw last year that the travel won't concern the Raiders. Like they went Vegas. I think they went up to the top end at some point in there. They were on the road basically for the first couple of months of the season, and they just kept winning. So, you've talked me into it, mate. I might be backing them. Roosters, Panthers. Let's hope that the Roosters can actually show up for a full 80 minutes. There were patches there again on the weekend that made you thought they could be a real force, which we expected at the start of the year. Cherry Evans had some really good moments, seemed to be more fitting into that structure of just doing his part. I don't know. It will be interesting. I still think the Panthers will be too good, but like we hoped last week with the Sharks Panthers game, let's hope that it's a real tough and tense encounter, because if it is, it'll be really good to watch.
Yeah, can't wait to see these halves match up against each other, with DC and Walker up against Cleary and Talangi. Just, you know, four class footballers with plenty in them. So if the forward packs can match each other, it'll be one hell of a game. So don't miss this one. This will be the game of the round for me. It'll be a cracker. So look, you can't pick against Penrith till they lose the way they've come out of the gates early. But to your point, if the Roosters show up for 80, this is going to be one hell of a battle, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I've noticed is people talk about, you know, the best kickers in the game, and you know, I've heard people mention Moses regularly, and he's got the good long kicking game. But to me, Cleary just keeps coming up with different kicks. Like, he seems to have perfected that drop out into touch now. The 40-20 across his body from like completely confusing the defense. To me, he's the class of his own for the kicking. Like, he might not have the same length as some of them.
So much time in.
He's a freak.
Yeah.
Absolutely freakish. Storm Broncos. Like I said, you can mount a case for every team. You would expect the Storm to just absolutely pummel them. But there's still part of us that's just thinking, surely the Broncos have to come good.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Unless there's something going on at the Broncos we don't know about, they've got to, you know, tick the box and get going. And look, it would have been a slow start to the season for them. A lot of them played some international footy at the back end of the year. They would have given them as much time off as possible. They had to go to England as well, down to Sydney for the Eels game. So there's been a lot going on for them, no question. But yeah, right now they just do seem to be a bit of a step off, and Storm look like they're rolling. So I'd be really worried about their left edge. So, you know, Melbourne are going to head right. There's no question about after what we've seen in the first few weeks for Brisbane. So they're going to need to put a bit of work into that. And similar to Penrith, and until someone knocks Melbourne over, it's going to be very hard to bet against them. They just seem to be a little bit too good at the moment, especially at home. You know, they're awful hard to beat at home at the best of times. So I think Madge will just be hoping for a better effort in defence, and whatever comes with the ball comes with it, I think, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard Maroon on Triple M talking about Maguire, and he said, to me, Madge is the best coach in the NRL. And I'm like, oh, come on, mate. He goes, you know, he's won in England, premiership with the, you know, drought breaker at Souths, drought breaker at the Broncos, he won with New Zealand, he's won with Origin. And it just made me think, it's like, where do these storylines come from? Where is the hatred towards him? Why is there always stuff coming from him? I mean, there was a bit of crap going with the Tigers, but he wasn't the only one who couldn't get the Tigers off the ground. And we're still not 100% convinced that Benji can either. But it's just interesting where storylines start on people and teams, and everyone just buys in and believes, and he keeps proving them wrong. And yet it's, again, the pressure that's mounted against him, despite the fact that obviously Mitch Barnett's decided that he wants to play under him, and Jonah Pezzett wants to play under him. Like, it's craziness.
Yeah, it is. It feels like Madge is always an outsider. No matter where he goes, it feels like they don't embrace him. You know, if I'm a player and Madge gets me a premiership in the NRL, first day of training for the next season, I'm waiting to be flogged. I can't, please, mate, flog me a second time. Like, I want to win another one. I'll do whatever he's a proven winner. There's no question about it. His methods clearly work. If you tell me to jump, I'm going to jump twice. So, yeah, I'm with you, mate. It is ridiculous. You know, we've had a lot of great coaches. I don't know whether I'd call him the top coach in the NRL, but I certainly don't know whether there's too many more that have won, you know, at those different competitions and have won as consistently as he is against the run as well, right? He won over in the Super League against in a comp where the team hadn't been going real well. Broncos hadn't done a lot for a long time. Obviously, New South Wales had been dominated for a number of years. So, one with the Kiwis as well, right? So, it's not like he takes over top flight teams or clubs. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's against him. Would have given my right arm to have been coached by him.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe it's our era, but I just love... I always love coaches like that that just wanted to drive to next levels. It reminds me a little bit of Ange Postecoglou in the football. He got so much grief when he was coach of Australia. He's kind of under the radar a bit in Japan, but the same thing, like when he's gone to Scotland and then into the UK, is because he's so... I guess maybe it's the... They just don't budge from their opinion and from their their own storyline, and they're so confident. Maybe people don't like that. They want all those people to be understated, and it's really interesting. I'm always looking at the human side of it and what makes people tick. So the whole thing fascinates me. The other thing is just speaking of best coaches in NRL, I heard an interesting thing the other day. Bellamy has only won premierships with Cameron Smith at hooker.
Yeah, wow. Well,
so he's no doubt he's had a good record, but
yep.
All the teams before and after weren't able to actually get to the premiership. Interesting.
That sounds like a Belichick, Tom Brady statistic there, mate. So, yeah, look, there's no doubt the players certainly help. So you look at what Madge has done, though. He's taken it across many others. You know, you mentioned Postecoglou. To me, never meeting either of them, only from the outside, they do strike me similar personalities where it's not so much I'm going to do it myself, but they're certainly clear-minded in what the direction they want to take. You know, I think, you know, I can't stand the way Gordon Tallis carries on about Madge. It's almost like Gordon Tallis wants him to worship him. And Madge isn't that type of bloke. Madge is his own man who's got his own ideas, and he's going to go do it himself. So, yeah, hopefully they get off his back, mate, regardless of how the Broncos end up this season, because he's certainly proven he's a winner. He doesn't have much more to prove than mine.
No. And from my experience with people that are triggered so much by someone else, it's usually because they remind them a lot of themselves. So it wouldn't surprise me if Gordy's actually wired in a similar way, because he's pretty forthright with his thoughts as well.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
The other thing that both of those coaches do is that they, as direct as they are both masters at creating a storyline for their team and to get the fans on board. Yeah, it's hard to know to differentiate between the good stuff that you see and the storylines that come out. So anyway, we might move on from that. What we do know is that the Bronx do need a better performance, whether they win or lose. They need to show something beyond what they are showing at the moment, because as long as the season is, you don't want to be 0-3 and still with some pretty tricky teams to play. So
yeah,
we'd looked at the Knights, Warriors already. Sharkies, Dolphins, another interesting one. Last 15 minutes for me showed, like, you could even see from the reaction from Christian Wolf in the coach's box, it was kind of like his frustration was like, where's this been? Like, they held onto the ball for long enough to actually show what they're capable of. And at some point, they're going to come good. Like, they started the last year with a pretty slow start. Will it be this week? If it is, this should be an absolute belter.
Yeah, mate, and you know, we mentioned Sharks earlier against, you know, they weren't horrible, they just weren't good enough. So their halves will have a little bit of, you know, the ego will be bruised a little bit again. They would have been hoping for a better performance against Cleary. So it'll be a big one. There's plenty of points in both sides. The outside backs are electric in both teams. You know, their back fives are their strength. So be interesting up front, and then Katoa and the two boys from Cronulla sort of matching it with each other in the halves. So, yeah, that'll be another cracking game of rugby league. That'll be Saturday afternoon, I think. So hopefully it's a dry day out at Shark Park and we get some free-flowing footy.
Absolutely. And actually, the other person that we probably didn't give much of a rap in the preview but was quite good when the rest of his team started going forward and hold on to the board was Cody Nikorima. He looked like... He will go well as long as the rest of them can get on board. So there's definitely plenty of upside. It's just whether they can actually. I mean, they've just been pretty disappointed both weeks, to be fair.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. We'll know where the Tigers are at. It's hard to get a good read after their Cowboys win. Even the Knights. The Knights have beaten a Cowboys team that haven't been good both weeks. And they've beaten a Manly team who, let's be honest, were just awful. This will give us a bit of an indication of where the Tigers are at, given that's a bit of a step up in class from what they played last weekend.
Yeah, spot on, mate. This is the hardest one to pick for mine. My hope is going to go with the Tigers. But the Rabbitohs probably got that little bit extra class, but they're just playing a little bit of footy at the moment. You know, you see Walker's getting a little bit frustrated. He's making some silly errors. Latrell's got a little bit of that in his game as well. So if they can cut that out and just get on with playing some footy, they've probably got a little bit too much class for mine. But who knows, to your point, the Tigers, you can only beat who you get put in front of, and they did a fairly good job against the Cowboys. So, look, I'm probably leaning towards South, but that could go either way, that game.
It'll come down to whoever hangs onto the footy for mine.
Yep.
All right, the big game, the game of the round for mine, the Eels versus the Dragons. to me, always good games. For the last few years anyway, but just over historically, it always seems to be a tough game. There's always plenty of Dragons fans that come to Parra, and this week will be no different, I'm sure. Both teams been a little bit inconsistent. I'm probably leaning more to the Dragons at this point, just given their performance against the Dogs and what I saw in the first half, and yeah, more consistency. But on the other hand, if Parra can actually get their start right, then we've seen what they can do when they get a bit of momentum. So, yeah, really interesting one.
Yeah, it will be, mate. The Dragons going to have to watch Ioane at the back. I thought he was been really solid for them both games. And obviously, Faolongo cut the Dragons to pieces playing that out the back line. So that'll be something that there's no doubt the Dragons will work on defensively. But, yeah, I think this, similar to a couple of games we've already spoken about, I think the battle up front's going to be really important. To this one, you know, both of them got pretty solid kicking games with Atkinson for the Dragons, who's been kicking well. So, look, this could go either way. You know, you've picked the Dragons. I'm probably leaning towards the Eels at the moment, but we're both pessimistic supporters. Hopefully it's a good game of footy. To your point, Sunday Arvo, Para, Dragons, hopefully it's a full house, mate, and the boys can play the game. They put the whistle away for a little while.
Yeah, that's it. Daniel Atkinson he had some good moments too on Saturday, wasn't it? Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, I think he did, mate. You know, they were a little bit harsh on him in the media after Vegas, but you got to remember the Bulldogs are still one of the best defensive teams in the comp. The field's a little bit skinnier, and he still had a lot of touches and a lot of involvements and good kicking game. But I thought, especially that first half before Melbourne really kicked away on it, I thought he was really good. He kicked well. It's certainly something St George haven't done well since probably Jamie Soward time. So to see that in his game was good. So his kicking game versus Iongi bringing the ball back will certainly be one to keep your eye on, mate. It'll be a good little tussle for him.
Yeah, I think so. He has really, there was big raps on Iongi, but he's certainly gone to another level again this year. And, he's Queensland. He's a Queenslander. Just another bloody...
Is he really? Yeah. They haven't had too many good fullbacks of late.
Oh, I know. They'll find a spot for him somewhere in a few years' time.
Yeah.
Now, what I love is that, for the third week in a row, you look through the matchups and you just think, well, there's some really good games there. We know rugby league, it won't always pan out that way, but it's just really cool, I think, for all fans to look at it and go, well, we're a chance this week, except maybe two clubs, but even, you know, just don't know. Like,
you're 100% mate. Look, to your point, the Knights are going to be really up against it without their three stars, right? There's no doubt about that. But to your point, there's a world where every other team wins this weekend. So there's certainly going to be some favourites and probably red-hot favourites in a few games, but there's a case to be answered for all of them. And this early in the season, every fan just hoping for a few wins. So it's exciting. But some of those big games, you know, Roosters, Penrith, will be a big one. Even Canterbury Raiders to kick the round off. And then injuries are not two undefeated sides with Newcastle and Warriors. So there's some cracking games of rugby league to be watched.
Yeah, and we've left out one game.
Have we?
The Cowboys Titans.
Oh, that's why we left it out, mate.
It will be class. I really liked what the Titans offered up last night. Yeah. I was actually really impressed. It's the danger is for them is that the letdown of coming so close, not getting the result, will there be a bounce back from the Cowboys? Should be a pretty good game, a hard one to call up there in North Queensland.
Yeah, I didn't even do my research on that. Apologies, mate. So off the cuff, you've probably got to say the Titans have been doing a little bit better, but not much. So, you know, that could go either way. I want to say this is the Cowboys' first home game, I think. So hopefully the fans are going to give them a chance there. But, yeah, if Titans can get into the arm wrestle and grind it out through that middle part of the field especially, then you've probably got to give it to them. But who knows with the Cowboys back at home, Dearden, Drinkwater still carrying that injury. But if he can get some free space, Purdue, you know, that just for a little while last week, I think both centres scored within about 5 minutes of each other, Chester and Purdue. They just showed a little bit just through that little, but unfortunately that was a 10-minute gap of an 80-minute game. So who knows what will happen.
They actually had another couple of chances in that little period as well before they just made simple errors. I think they were actually right on the line looking for three in a row and they just turned it over. Oh, was it the Matt Lodge? What happened there? It's a kick through and then he took out the fullback. Was that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it could have been.
I'd had
a couple of quarks by then, but I did remember the two centres tries and they just got that wriggle on. So we're interested to see Tino this week. He hasn't been playing big minutes, so I don't know whether he's carrying something or they're just managing him into the season. So up there in Townsville against a pack that hasn't really been tearing teams apart, you'd hope Tino can lead the charge and get on top of him. Haas, I think, has been excellent for the Titans. He's probably been the best player so far this season. So if those two boys can lead from the front and go over the top of them, I don't know how far Campbell's away. I'm not sure if he's a chance or not, but the Titans may just be a little bit too good for him, but anything could happen in that game, mate.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what I really liked about the Titans. They look so connected. Like they at one point the Dolphins had a chance out wide, and there were just like so many Titan players in the frame coming across to defend, and when they knocked Asako knocked it on from a good tackle from I think it was Kinney coming over. And then they just come from everywhere to congratulate them, get around them, and obviously, like from a culture and a connection piece, they just look really connected, which is certainly not what you're seeing from the Cowboys. So I think I'm leaning towards the Titans on that one, just as I hear myself talking out loud. So new little you've handed over the power rankings. You've seen. You've either been talked into this or, I don't know, tell us a story, but you've got a special guest for us.
I have got a special guest for us. So current Norse Devils player Jacob Gagan played some handful of NRL games for Cronulla and South. He's chipped in. He's a listener to the podcast, so he's chipped in. He's going to provide us his power rankings each week, the top five as he sees it, and then we're going to have a little bit of a agree-disagree. So I will be honest, when I saw these five, I thought he may not be watching any more rugby league, only playing it. But then when you actually dive in and have a think about it, I can't say he's too far off. So he's got Storm at number one, Penrith at number two. So I think we're both, you know, seen some pretty impressive starts by Storm and Penrith. So I agree with him there. Warriors at three again. They're 2-0 and really haven't missed a beat. So no-brainer. That's where it gets interesting. He's got Newcastle at four and the Tigers at five. So, you know, look, we spoke earlier, and they're two that raised eyebrows from, you know, what we've known from those two clubs previously. But at the end of the day, they've beaten who they've been put in front of, and they've beaten them both pretty convincingly. So that's how Jacob Gagan has the power rankings for this this week. And I can't really – I would have had Cronulla in there until they played the way they did against Penrith. So I can't really argue with him. I think Canberra's probably a little bit unlucky. But, yeah, that's where he sees them. How about yourself, Hawk?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all, mate. I might have had the order slightly wrong. I would have had Penrith at the top just because both performances have been super impressive. The Storm didn't dominate that first half against the Dragons. The Dragons were better than handy. And then it's a pretty close call for the Warriors as well, because they've been super impressive. But you can't really argue. Newcastle, no. They've won, and they've won well, and they've looked impressive. And the Tigers were super impressive. So there's no other teams that are 2-0, is there, amongst what we've seen so far?
I think that has them close enough, mate. I mean, this week will be a big one. Obviously, South Tigers, Canberra, Bulldogs, and then Sharks Dolphins could have an impact on how Gagan sees it next week. But, yeah, to your point, I can't have too much of a chip at him this week, mate. That's pretty much how I'd have him as well.
Yep. Listener questions. Brisbane Broncos premiership pretenders. You've got to say at this point yes, but we also know how they started last year and how they came from the clouds and those last 2 months, which they are still capable of. They've still got the same players there. No, you know, Ezra Mann is obviously didn't defend well on Thursday night, but he's going to have a full season. They stay fit. They're still there or thereabouts. So I can't give them a tick at the moment, but I do not think we can rule them out at all.
Yeah, spot on, Hawk. It's far too early to rule them out when they've got the class that they have in that side. Obviously, things aren't quite clicking at the moment, but we already spoke about what they've dealt with the pre-season. But with the likes of Haas and Walsh, Reynolds, Mam, the list goes on, Stagg, etc. So certainly by no means can you call them pretenders, but, yeah, they're not going to... They're not going to be able to continue the way they are for much longer. They do have a bit of an easier run coming up after the Storm, so you could find them lose their first three and then pick up the next four or five, but then all of a sudden Origin hits, and we know they're going to lose a number of Origin players. So this week will be a big one for them. If they can jag this one and then go on that easier run for 4 or 5 weeks, I can see everyone forgetting about these sort of questions. But, yeah, if they don't, it'll be an interesting middle part of the season for the Bronx.
Certainly will. Are Panthers the team to beat? For me, yes. We think, again, think back to last year. We talked about how bad Manly were. There were a couple of games in the early and middle season for the Panthers where they looked like a team of strangers and some of their attack was diabolical. And yet they go within another Broncos comeback of making the granny. And if they make it, well, then they're every chance of winning that as well. And yet this team, this year, they didn't have to go to Vegas. They've had a good preseason. They didn't have a grand final celebration. They looked so good those first 2 weeks. I had them finishing one, and I just think they will be, again, provided they stay fit, as always, they are definitely the team to beat for mine.
Yeah, right now I agree, mate. I think didn't really give enough credit to having Blaze Talangi come in at six fresh last year. I think if you look back in hindsight, it probably took him a little bit longer just to get that cohesion, especially on his edge. He does look like he's taken that step forward. Over the last 12 months, he's looked pretty sharp this period. But, you know, the absolute opposite to the Broncos, the Panthers, it's the first time they've looked fresh to me, probably in 18 months. That last grand final they won, you could see it was just starting to wear them and get to them, and they come out and started the season last just gone pretty bloody slowly. So, but they look fresh, they look well rested, they look well drilled. They've got that little mongrel back in their defence and that pride in their line. And if Blaze Talangi keeps developing to be that offsider to Cleary, they're going to be bloody hard to beat, mate. So, again, very hard to say 2 weeks in like the Broncos question, but right now Penrith do look like they're priming for another run at it.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, a bit of a chip on their shoulder. There's a few of them getting a bit fired up and a bit nasty, and they've still got their nastiest player, Liam Martin, to come back. Sure. There was a couple of good players. Was it Liam Henry on the bench as well, injured? But, yeah, Blaze Talangi certainly, the back end last year in particular, he looked like he had improved heaps. They are flying. Who is the best 0-2 team? Oh God, this is going to be a hard one.
I didn't think
Manly,
this would be
Dragons,
a hard
Cowboys,
question to answer.
Broncos, yes, Titans. To me, it comes down to two teams there. The three have just been pretty shit, really. But the Dragons and the Titans, probably the Dragons edging them because I felt they probably should have won that first game and they were pretty impressive defensively. And we've seen how good the Storm have been so far, and they went toe-to-toe with them for the first 40 minutes. The only thing is I could probably see more upside for the Titans given, like you said, they've still got Campbell to come back, and given how low a base they came from, they look like they will get much better. They remind me a bit of Para last year. I might have mentioned this last week, where they had impressive trial form, come out a bit slow, and if Hannay can really embed the new systems and get them all singing from the same hymn sheet, they certainly have good years ahead of them, I reckon.
I mean, process of elimination, I probably go the same way, mate. I mean, the Broncos are the best team, but as far as performance so far, probably the Titans and the Dragons. If you flip the question on its head and said who was the worst team, it would be a dust-up between the Cows and Manly, right, because they have not been well. So hopefully for the Cowboys' sake, they can have a crack this weekend up against the Titans. But, there's going to be a team at worst being 0-3 with the Cows and the Titans matching up against each other. So she's a hard slog. The pressure gets harder on the coach. Questions keep getting asked at 0-3 and then just makes that next game even harder. So, I'll leave that question for you, mate.
A That's soft, mate. When do they play each other? The Eagles and the Cowboys for the Wooden Spoon Cup.
Yeah, let's hope Blocker Roach and Kevin Walters is commentating so I don't have to listen to them commentate the Dragons game.
Let's also hope that we haven't got this horribly wrong and the doubts are not our two teams battling it out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's hope not, mate.
Oh, dear. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there. Keep the fan questions coming. We always like those. And, yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers, Hall.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.